Hi, I'm Archit.
And I'm Shirin.
And welcome to Getting Lost with Archit and Shirin, a podcast where two amateur cooks,
if you say so,
talk about all things food, from ingredients, recipes, techniques, and lessons from our trials in the kitchen. Every episode, Shirin, our producer Natasha, and I will do a deep dive into one singular topic and talk about literally everything we know. What's the topic for today, Shirin?
We're going to talk about going eggless in the kitchen.
This is such a common question that I've faced throughout lockdown, and I'm sure that, you know, you've faced that too.
No, but it took 10 months of our podcast to finally get to this topic, which is what's really surprising. Better late than never.
Yeah, and I hope that, you know, what we kind of do with this episode is just to like break down what an egg is and then how can you find efficient substitutions to it so that you can just be a pro at converting any recipe into an eggless one.
Okay, so let's start with the most basic question. Can going eggless be as easy as, you know, our moms and our grandmoms make it sound? Because I've met so many people, me included, and I have met me, talking about how I just can't do eggless. Like, I just cannot substitute because it ruins it. So what's your perspective?
Yeah.
Is this a no-go area, or is this something that can totally be done? It's just that people don't know how to do it.
Well, so it's totally doable. It's just that you have to understand why eggs are so important and then how are other things going to incorporate to kind of circumvent the specialities that an egg has. So if you look at an egg is made of three things. One is egg white, which is the protein. The other is the egg yolk, which is the fat. And then as a whole, it's one like cohesive egg as well. So if you look at proteins, the role of proteins is essentially to add air. So you can very effectively add air by using something else like whipping cream or fresh cream that's been whipped, or you know, aquafaba if you're a vegan. And essentially aquafaba is the water of boiled chickpeas that you can actually whip up into a really nice thick consistency just like an egg white. So if you know how you want to incorporate the egg white, you can do that very effectively. And if, you know, you're making a souffle, you can use aquafaba, for example, or whipping cream instead of egg whites.
What? You can make a souffle without eggs?
Yeah, you can.
Will it rise?
It will rise because basically you're incorporating the same thing. You have to add air to make souffle. And that's what you're doing with, say, aquafaba.
Okay, so I'm going to quiz you on that later. But I guess for the purposes of this podcast episode, we are basically looking at an egg not as a vegetarian, non-vegetarian thing necessarily, but more as just a product that is used in the kitchen and figuring out how we can swap it out for other things.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, let's go, because you are the one who has the biology degree. talk. I'll do the fun stuff. It's cool. It's fine.
Okay. So that's egg white. Now, if you look at egg yolks, which is adding fat, egg yolks are used to basically add sheen, texture, and flavor to any baked good. The great thing about egg yolks is the fact that, you know, they themselves don't have any flavor, so they actually incorporate the flavor of whatever you add. So that's why, you know, in a cookie, which has even if you make a chocolate cookie, you add vanilla essence because the vanilla essence actually gets trapped into the fat molecules of the egg yolk and actually provide the cookie with this like vanilla flavor. Whereas if you were to add any other alternative, it might actually add some flavor of its own. So for example, a great egg yolk substitution is yogurt or hung curd or pureed apples or mashed bananas or tahini or miso. All of these things have flavor of their own. So they will tend to impart their own flavor into the egg, into the egg baked goodie that you're making.
So if we look at why eggless recipes are so much more in demand now, could you just talk to me a bit about it? Because you have a blog and you've got access to also all these metrics in terms of what people are reading, what they're spending time on. So tell me a little bit about your experience in terms of this change, even though it's not really a change, more like a growth.
So I think the growth is basically because people are now cooking a lot more. But what the demand is essentially amongst like three specific groups of people. One is just, you know, people who practice veganism. So for them, eggs are just a no-no because animal byproduct.
Yeah.
The second are, you know, people who practice vegetarianism, but specifically in India, where surprisingly eggs are considered vegetarian. Non-vegetarian, which is mind-boggling because it's not. I know of people and like Natasha's friend, in fact, who's allergic to eggs, and you know, then for them it's just like, yeah, it's not his fault at all. So you know, because of that, it's like some people just can't eat eggs. That's it.
Yeah, and it's okay to not be able to or to want to eat eggs. It's totally just like some people who don't like the egg yolk and don't like their eggs runny. It's okay, they're not being babies. They just don't like it. So, it's okay. It's all fine.
Sure.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, tell me a little bit, like, you know, in terms of your favorite substitutes and exactly how they work. Talk to us a little bit more about that and kind of break it down for the listeners so that if tomorrow I want to bake a chocolate cake that I used to use eggs for, I can do it without the eggs.
Yeah, so, you know, egg whites, like I said before, aquafaba does really well. Egg yolks, you have lots and lots of things. You know, you can even add butter depending on the, you know, the consistency. depending on the consistency that you want. You can also add things like buttermilk if you want something super runny. So like a pancake, you don't have to add egg, you can just add buttermilk and it'll do the same job. Now a full egg is very different because when you're using a whole egg, you're not only using the fat and the protein, but you're actually using it as a binding agent.
Yes.
So you're actually, you know, using it to kind of combine batters together into one cohesive you know, substance. Yeah. And to kind of achieve that, there are some really good alternatives. One that I really like is flax egg. So a flax egg is essentially it's for every egg, it's 2.5 tablespoons of flax seed that's like minced, so like flax meal, and 3 tablespoons of water mixed together. So what happens with that is that it creates this like really gelatinous substance, which can really be used well as a great alternative to egg. And it's also like, it has no flavor, just like egg. So it's really good because you can impart different flavors into it.
So if I'm making, say, a cutlet, and
yeah,
I love that word, cutlet. If I want to swap the egg part out for, say, this little flax egg situation, all I have to do is follow instructions and then I'm golden.
Yeah, so any recipe, so like if you use 2.5 tablespoons of flaxseed plus 3 tablespoons of water, that's equivalent to a whole egg. Mm. So then you can just multiply it and use it however.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, so that's been helpful-ish. But what I really want to know is...
Thanks.
Yeah, you're very welcome. What I really want to know is, and a lot of people have asked me this, and I've just said, I don't know, when they've asked me this. So now I want to know. A lot of times when people bake eggless cake, so there's no dirty recipe, so we're not going to, like, you know, ramble there. That cakes turn out to be a bit dry. And to understand if it's, you know, the eggless part that's causing it. And if yes, then why and how? And if not, then I can get into what makes your cake dry besides the egg problem.
Yeah, so this is damn common as well. Like the fact that eggless cakes don't have enough moisture. And a lot of that is, again, because we're not effectively, when you're making an eggless cake, you're not effectively adding the same amount of fat that an egg full cake, I don't know, like a cake with eggs would have. So if your batter always has less fat in it, and you know of a recipe, you can just add buttermilk to it. It'll make it a little runny, but that's okay because you can just increase your bake time. So if you're doing like 35 minutes for a cake, you can do 40 minutes and it will still firm up and be as solid, but because you're adding more fat to it, it will actually enrich the dough a lot better. That is one way to do it. The other way to do it is that you can also add add just cold butter into your batter when you're running it, mm-hmm. Or just creamed butter in it as well. And this is something that I've learned pretty recently, is the fact that just any eggless recipe, you can just add about 10 to 20 grams of creamed butter into it whenever, and it will do fabulously well.
Okay, that's really interesting. And it won't get super dense, because that's another problem with eggless cake, right? That not only is it dry often, but if it's not dry, the other problem that crops up is that it's very, how do I say, besides saying dense.
Yeah, it doesn't have enough air.
Hair?
So, it's the air. Air.
Like, okay, so what did you put in my birthday cake this year?
You asked for protein, no? I added protein to your cake.
No, okay, so it doesn't have enough air. Yes.
Yeah, so that's the function of the egg white.
Yes, yes. So what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to beat the batter more?
Yeah, you can beat the batter more. You can also make sure that always separate your dry ingredients and your wet ingredients, and make sure that you actually use you actually whip your wet ingredients separately very, very cohesively, and whip it more than you usually would. Mm-hmm. And even if a recipe says don't do it, do it. Because if you whip a batter with maida in it, what will happen is the gluten will become too hard. Yeah. And sometimes that's what happens also, is the fact that people whip their batter at the last part when they've mixed everything together. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to work your dough too much, because then it'll become doughy as compared to cakey.
Mm. And that's also my problem with these blender recipes where
oh my god, yeah.
Put it all in the mixie and give it a whir and you're good to go. And I'm just like, who's going to beat the eggs, huh?
I know. But that's also like a problem of any recipe that's too simple. Like, if it's too simple, it's a problem.
No, I am going to share a very simple recipe and it's not a problem.
Have you made a mug cake though? Super tangent. I want to do it, but I'm scared of my mugs.
No, I've made a mug cake and I did that back in like college or something. And never after that have I done it.
Have your mugs blown up ever?
No, they haven't blown up, but I chose the really thick ones for these really projects. They work, but what you really should do to make a mug cake, you know, actually taste good is approach it like, you know, more of a dessert that's cakey, but not necessarily a cake. So you have to accept it's not going to be a proper cake. It's going to be gooey in the middle. And you should go for that. You should maybe put in a dollop of peanut butter or Nutella, or, you know, maybe even pop like some crushed Ferrero Rocher in there, because you need a little bit of density in the center. It's almost like a lava cake, but deconstructed. So moving on. Now I'm going to take a little bit of a turn and not necessarily talk about, you know, substituting for egg, because I also understand that dessert can be delicious without egg, and you don't always have to have an alternative. So I'm going to share a couple of fun ways to actually whip up really nice eggless dessert, which tastes super rich and, well, just as good as anything with an egg. So my first one is a chocolate tart, which is basically super simple to make. All you need is butter, biscuits, heavy cream, a little bit of sugar, and good chocolate. So here's what we do. You know how to create a crust. You take a little pan, create a crust with your butter and your biscuits. Say biscuits, Ajit.
Biscuits?
Biscuits.
Well, how do you say it? Do I say it differently?
No. It's just supposed to like a fun word, like cutlet.
Cutlet is damn cute. Biscuit is biscuit. It's fine.
Oh my God.
This is like a short crust, like a cheesecake crust.
No, this is just Marie biscuit in the mixie with melted butter. And then put in your pan and baked in the oven for 20 minutes and then allowed to cool. That's it.
So how is that different? Isn't that cheesecake wala only, no?
It is the cheesecake wala. Yes.
Huh. So then why do you say no pehle?
So guys, make the cheesecake wala crust. What you need to do is take, say, equal parts of heavy cream and chocolate, and heat your heavy cream on the stove just till it simmers, not a boil, and basically pour it on top of chopped chocolate. So this is a ganache.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And then you whip it. And it has to be equal. So you don't put more cream and less chocolate, or more chocolate and less cream, because otherwise the consistency will be too thin. And you just put a little bit of powdered sugar, as much as you like. Depends on the percentage of your chocolate as well. And just whip it with your hands. I mean, not with your hands. The whisk. You don't need a beater for this. It's actually way more fun with a whisk than with beaters. You can also add a tablespoon of butter once you're done for a little bit of gloss, but it's really not needed. You've got like heavy cream in there. And please, for God's sake, try not to use Amul cream because it's just not fatty enough. Go to your local dairy and ask for fresh cream. And just pop it in the fridge after, of course, pouring this into the cheesecake wala biscuit. And pop it in the fridge for about an hour. It will set and you have a beautiful tart, which is pretty damn good. And it's really, really that easy. It's literally just a cheesecake crust with chocolate ganache. And it holds its shape as long as you keep it cold. It doesn't run all over your plate. And it's absolutely delicious. You can keep it in the fridge for like 5 to 7 days. So, yeah.
That's really cool. I wish you had ever made that for me, but thank you.
I made it from Sarah's bachelorette. Whenever you get married, I'll throw you a bachelor's party and I will make you the chocolate.
Yeah. Okay, Shirin, so on to your second recipe?
Mm-hmm.
Question mark?
It is an eggless tiramisu.
Ooh, nice.
Really, he's saying nice right now and being very sweet. But initially when I told him I don't put eggs in my tiramisu, he was such a snob about it. Oh my God, yeah. It was horrible.
My nice is a lie. Like, I can't believe you're making it without egg, but c'est la vie.
Or c'est la guerre. In that case, what you want to do if you are looking for, say, an eggless tiramisu is that you forget all about the recipe on Archit's blog and you focus on this one.
Wow.
Yeah. What you need to do is, again, get really, really good high-fat whipping cream or heavy cream, preferably from your local dairy. But otherwise, Amul has this red and white dabba of whipping cream that you can use. And take about, 2 cups. I usually just eyeball it. 2 cups of heavy cream and whip it up. And if it's summer when you're trying to do this, you might need to, like, put ice underneath your bowl and stuff. But whip it up. Make sure that it's cold. And then add 1/2 cup of powdered sugar to your mascarpone cheese, which, again, is, like, just one little tub of mascarpone cheese. And you completely mix it in. And then you take your mascarpone cheese and your whipped cream and one by one, spoon by spoon, you fold it in. You're most welcome to put in like vanilla or whatever you want to do at this point in time. But I would suggest that you save your alcohol for the coffee.
Nice, yes.
So now you're in the fridge. Yeah, I just had like cold brew right now. So I'm super wired. It was my 5th cup of the day. But it's a Saturday, so it's okay. Now moving on to the biscuits. I forget how we pronounce it, but Saviardi? Saviardi biscuits?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Or just like finger, what is it? Lady fingers.
Yeah. So you need those special tiramisu biscuits, which you will get at, say, a food hall or a modern bazaar or any very well-stocked grocery store. And choose a pan. Based on that, that's how many biscuits you need. And have a pot of either cold brew coffee or regular black coffee or espresso that has been cooled. Important here, you don't need hot coffee at all here. So in that coffee...
No, don't put hot coffee at all. Yeah. I tried it. It'll melt your whole finger. Yeah. Like, not finger, your lady finger.
I'm just imagining your finger melting in a pot of coffee and I'm loving it.
Thanks.
Yeah, so you need thandi coffee. You need it to be strong. It should not be weak. Don't worry if you are not a strong coffee drinker. You need strong coffee right now. So keep that there. Throw in a little bit of rum or Kahlua or vanilla essence or whatever you want to throw in. Do not throw in gin or vodka. It will not taste good. Okay. Moving on. All you have to do is dip the biscuits one by one into the coffee for like less than 10 seconds each and line them up. Do another layer of the cream and mascarpone mixture, then go back with the biscuits, and so on and so forth till you've filled up your bowl. Your last layer should be the whipped cream and mascarpone mixture. You can top it up with a little bit of sprinkled cocoa powder and pop it in the fridge overnight, and you're done. So basically, the only difference really between a regular tiramisu with eggs and this one is that A, it's much easier, it's harder to mess up, and B, it doesn't have eggs. That's it.
The thought is the same in this as well, which is the fact that you have the whipping cream as the egg white, and then you have the mascarpone as the big source of fat along with the whipping cream.
Yes, so that's, but I feel like even though I like egg desserts, I am uncomfortable making tiramisu with eggs because I'm just like, ugh, it's raw. Because it's not like one of those situations where over gentle heat, you're like whipping your eggs, right? You're not.
Yeah, you are. For egg yolks, you are. So that's the that's the part that, when I do my egg full, I don't know why I keep on calling it egg full, but whatever. I use a double boiler and I cook my egg yolks with the sugar to make an egg syrup kind of a thing. And that's where you have salmonella. Salmonella doesn't sit in the proteins. So like all that
special part where the salmonella lives and that's how you die.
Yeah, salmonella lives in the yolk. It doesn't live in the protein.
This took a really depressing turn, but we're going to move on.
Do we have questions from our listeners?
We had a question about dry cake. And we fixed it. We have a joke.
We have a joke. We have a joke.
We do. So, I'm really glad a joke. But I don't think I'm very funny. So, it's going to be a good one. So, someone was talking to me about what we're recording next. And I told the person that it's, eggless dessert. And he or she was like, oh my God, so-and-so friend of mine is going to be really thrilled. And I said, why? Is he eggless? And then I said, he's a boy, so he must be. Thank you for laughing.
Oh, it was this is so bad.
When I typed it. It was way funnier when I typed it.
I really appreciate that. Of course, that was very meticulously thought out. But thank you.
I don't want to reveal anything about my personal life out there. Not on the podcast. Not again.
So that was very meticulously done. Thank you for that wonderful joke.
You're very welcome. If you would like to send me some gifts to just like thank me better, feel free.
I'll send you some Mari biscuits for your next tart.
generous man.
But let's just I think we've covered most of what we wanted to cover, and I hope that people have a better idea of how to navigate eggs.
Educated the masses.
I really have. I'm so proud because I think it's needed. I every time someone asks me for eggless recipes, now I'm just gonna send them this podcast. Be like, listen, and you'll find out.
Well, thank you so much, Arjun. Thank you for your time. Thank you for entertaining my jokes. Thank you for doing all the heavy lifting on this episode, all the research. Thank you for taking up the not-so-fun parts so I could do the fun parts. I really, really appreciate it. Yeah.
You're welcome, 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 welcome.
Most. Okay. Thank you guys for listening, since I'm thanking people so profusely today. And we will talk to you soon. Bye.
This episode of Getting Lost with Archit and Shirin was produced by Natasha Rati Kapoor, edited by Ananya Gupta, and written and conceptualized by Shirin Rai Gupta and Archit Agarwal.